Hallelujah. Good evening, everyone. It's good to have you here this evening. Just to kind of fill in a few of the blanks where she was trying to remember everything J. Everly Ministries does, there's some things that we have on our heart. And this is just in our hearts. It's not something that if other ministries do it different, they're wrong. It doesn't make us right, them wrong. It's just however people are led. But we're taking on a bit of a business. As far as the way the business side of the ministry works, or the financing of it, let's put it this way, the ministry model we're taking on is making things free, you know, products, online audios, and now the blog, and things we're going to be doing, making those things free and just letting the partners support that. Yeah. Amen. And if somebody else sells their, of course, people can buy our products, hard copies of the media, so forth. They can buy that as well, but because those have some cost to it. But we want to do as much as possible, just in a format where people can get it without charge, and then just let the partners that are blessed by that, people that are blessed by that, let them support that. And we, you know, we support other ministries, and we get fed by other ministries, so we just want to be as much of a blessing as we can, especially since some of the things Dr. Dufresne said to us about our ministry by the Spirit, he said our ministry by voice will go all over the world. Well, we just want to get the word out. Amen. That's all that we care about. Amen. Hallelujah. So thank you, partners, for helping us do that, and we've got more on our hearts to do. So three things the Lord has put on our hearts to do or to branch into. One is planting churches, and another one is media, more I should say social media, doing more as far as reaching out, broadcasts and so forth and so on. And that's coming because it's going to be much more easy now that the live stream, what am I trying to say, high speed internet is coming to our house, which will help us do a whole lot more. The reason I want to do it at the house is because there's I can just, as soon as I get something on my heart, I can just do it. Yeah. You know, rather than run to the church, get the whole media team together and say, can you set up the studio and everything? And why not just have one set up and just, you know, run in there and record? I like to record when it's hot off the wire of heaven, you know. So we're going to be doing that, and then planning churches, social media, and then more traveling. More, not necessarily in that order, whatever order, you know, whatever order doesn't. We're not putting one of those over another, but we have more meetings coming. We're scheduling. People are inviting us, so we got some things scheduled. As far as planning churches, I already have direction on a city. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so somebody said, where? I'm not at liberty yet to release that. We're doing some praying about it. But the Lord very specifically spoke. So we're just going to move forward and let the plan unfold. Let the plan of God be revealed. The more we walk in the light, the more light comes. And we're excited about it. So get ready to run. The Lord said to me, He said, it's time. Gird up your mind. The loins of your mind, he said, it's time to run. It's time to run. So we're excited about that. And that means you have to run because you're helping, you know. So there's more and more reasons. It's becoming more and more evident why some of the leadings that we've had, why God's led us the way he has. You know, at times, sometimes when you get led of the Spirit along certain lines, you're like, well, why is that so important? Or why is he leading us like that? But you just obey. And then when you obey, it comes clear. It's like, oh, yeah. That's not a luxury. That's going to be a necessity. So it's just exciting to walk with God and see the plan unfold. Amen? Amen. So you're a part of that, and we're excited about the future. I've talked and bounced some things off of Pastor Nancy about planning churches, and she got in a service and was in the Spirit and confirmed it by the Spirit. Said yeah, that's what God wants you to do. So, not that we needed that, but it sure does encourage you. Yeah. Amen. If you brought your Bible this evening, go over with me to start to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 14. 1 Corinthians, we're going to be taking some time tonight and praying, but something definitely came into my heart. I thought, Lord, that's not exactly what I was planning on saying. But, of course, this is his church, not mine. You got to get reminded of that every now and then. But so 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, we'll look at a couple of passages here. Verse number 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, and then we'll back up. Let me see here. 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 2, "He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." That's one of the reasons we pray in tongues. The Bible's talking here when he says speaking in an unknown tongue. We know about praying in tongues. He said when we pray in tongues, we're speaking not unto men, but unto God. We're talking to God. Now, 1 Corinthians doesn't say, it says in the King James, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Mysteries. Other translation says he's speaking or talking secrets with God. Talking secrets with God. I like that. In other words, things you and my mind doesn't understand. That's what Romans 8 is talking about. When the Spirit helps our infirmities, and then he mentions what one of those infirmities are. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit helps and makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Right. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints, notice, according to the will of God. Amen. According to. We're praying out the will of God that our mind hasn't figured that out, that part of the will of God out yet. We're praying things that we don't even know need prayed about. But the Holy Spirit does. And whenever we yield our tongue to him praying in tongues, he'll have us praying out the will of God when we don't even know that that needed prayed about. There's things that we know to pray about. We pray in our understanding. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says we pray in the Spirit and we pray with our understanding also. We shouldn't just be lazy and try to do all our praying in tongues. When we know what things to ask, we ask according to his will and so forth and so on, just in our understanding. But there's things sometimes that God wants to do that we don't even understand he wants to do. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you know all when these things are prayed out, these things work together for our good, come to pass, praise the Lord. Now, back up here to chapter number 13 in verse number 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity," that's the Greek word for love, "I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." In other words, it's just a bunch of noise. Listen to me speak in tongues. Well, let me just check your love walk before you want to get up and give an utterance in tongues. You know, what kind of testimony do you have? Amen. When I say testimony, I mean, do you have a good reputation? But so he said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, I have not and have not charity. I am become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal." So you know, our character is important, isn't it? Our love walk is important. Now, I want to, and I didn't realize I was going to be sharing on this tonight, but I'm so glad I got an opportunity. These kinds of settings give me an opportunity to get some things out I don't get out normally. So much is happening. So much is going on in here, and so much revelation is coming. And I it's difficult. I've been asking God, how do I get this out? Because so much is coming. And I have so few opportunities to get it out. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm saying, Lord, I need to know how to get things out. You're putting these things on my heart. How do I get them out? These are supposed to get out. They're not just for me.
That's right.
Amen. And he's showing us. Amen. There's a lot happening. You know, you can't look at the natural all the time. There's just a lot of foundation. Remember, the Lord said to me, he said, you know, there's some things you prayed out. Remember that 8-hour prayer time before we came to Cedar Rapids? And you've walked all that out. You're going to have to do some more praying in the Holy Ghost. Pray out the rest of some other phases of this plan. There's a plan.
Yes.
Hallelujah. There's a plan for your life. Plan for my life.
Amen.
We've all got a part. It's important. It's not... just a small thing whether we bring our part to the plan or not.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, the Holy Ghost is coming on me, and I got to discern what to say and what not to say. But don't take lightly the decisions you make. You know, be a part of what God's doing. And be a part where God's planted you. And don't let little emotional things sway you and get you into, you know, your own thinking. Ask yourself the question, if I wasn't dealing with these emotional issues, would I be making this decision? If the answer is no, then you're not being led of the Spirit to make that decision. You're being pressured by the enemy. And having pity parties is an opportunity for the devil. One translation, when Peter said to Jesus, because Jesus said he was going to the cross, one translation, Peter said, because King James says, Lord, far be it from you, you know. One translation says, Lord, pity thyself. Boy, Jesus dealt with that like a duck on a June bug. Wheeled around, wham, dealt with that thing. He said, get behind me, Satan. In other words, pity parties are open door to the devil. You need to get a hold of yourself. I said, you need to get a hold of yourself. Amen. Get a hold of yourself. You know what to do. Get a hold of yourself. Don't let the devil sift you like wheat. Amen. God's put you here. He's called you. He's placed you here. There's a plan here. Didn't work out like you thought, but that doesn't matter. You hold. Don't side in against God. Side in with Him. Don't open the door to the devil like that. Amen. Now, I got in California, and the Lord got on to me. I wasn't being bold enough to say everything I knew to say. So hold on. Strap yourself in. Amen. Hallelujah. So, but here, when we speak in tongues, we're praying out the plan. It's important that we all bring our part to the plan. We all have a part. And the devil, like Peter, came for Peter and wanted to separate him from his part. You know, people, they just make decisions too flippantly, too lightly. You know, I don't want to stand before the Lord. I remember one time I was under a lot of pressure to quit working the job I was at because I didn't like it anymore. And the Lord, he said to me, if you ever do anything, make any decision without me leading you just out of pressure, he said, then you're out of my will. Get past the pressure. Let yourself get all past the pressure and past all the emotions, and then make a decision. Don't make a decision when you're all emotional and worked up. Because a lot of times you'll make a wrong decision. Amen. So, it's important that we be in the right place. It's important that we bring our supply because there's a plan. And right now, what you're crying about, within a few years, you'll be laughing about. If you just stick tight. Don't just run because of pressure. Amen. It's the truth. He said it's the truth. You heard about the man taking a, I don't know why anybody take a tour of an insane asylum, but he was being led through an insane asylum, and there was a man in a cell beating his head against the cell wall, Mary, where's Mary? I'm sorry. Mary, what's wrong with him? Mary jilted him. She left him for somebody else. Went down the hall a little ways. Another man beating his head against the wall. Mary, what's wrong with him? Oh, he's the one that married Mary. Think about it. What you're crying about today, you'll laugh about tomorrow.
Yes, come on.
Yes, sir.
Ha, ha, ha. Get the joy back. 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 Hallelujah. All right. So stay with the plan. Now, he said there when we pray in tongues, we pray mysteries. Part of that mystery is the plan that God has for us. And sometimes we don't know it all in our minds. Our minds are sort of, we maybe see part of it. Maybe God's talked to us about part of it. We don't see the whole thing. But notice he said when we pray, we speak these mysteries. Now, notice he also said when we pray, we speak in the tongues of men, sometimes of angels. Remember whenever on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost was poured out and they all spoke with tongues. Magnified God. And all the people gathered together because they were on the day of Pentecost, people came from all over the then known world, not the whole world, but then known world. And they were all gathered in Jerusalem for Pentecost, and they came from all different places speaking all different languages. And they heard him, and whenever they're speaking in tongues, they heard him speak in their own tongues. Yeah. Human tongues. Yeah. You know, if it had been today, I don't know if any Spanish back then, but if it had been today, Spanish and Portuguese and French and, you know, whatever languages there are. They'd heard them speaking in their tongue. So they were speaking in a language. They weren't just speaking gibberish. They were actually talking something intelligent to God. It was actually intelligent. And so he said, we do that and when we speak in tongues. We speak sometimes in the tongues of men, sometimes in the tongues of angels. I could tell you stories. I don't have time to get into all the stories tonight. But I've had some marvelous things happen along that line. I will tell you one. Because you forced me to, you know. We were out preaching out in Colorado. Berthoud, was that the name of that? Berthoud is a strange name of a town. But we were preaching out there, and some missionaries came. We were preaching a camp meeting. Some missionaries came from down southern, what were they, Argentina? You remember that? You still don't know the story? Girl, I've had you with me all these years. Yes. Brother Carlos got it made. And so we were preaching. These missionaries came by somewhere in Argentina. They had been missionaries down there for a while. And I'll tell you, on the mission field, you better have your better know what you who you are and have some faith. Yeah, that was Bertha. I told you. Strange name for a town, but it's good church there. So we these missionaries were there, and I called them up and ministered to them in tongues and interpretation. Him and his wife. He was a young couple. I don't think they're more, well, they maybe even 30 years old, real young couple. And so we ministered to them tongues and trouble. He wept and wept and wept and wept. I'm like, okay, you know. The interpretation was a blessing to him, but he said afterwards, he came up to me and he said, what you don't know was you spoke in the unique dialect down there where we're missionaries. And he says, it's very unique. It's not, he said, you didn't just speak in the general language down there. He said, you spoke in a unique dialect of some people we were ministered to. And you said in tongues some of the very secrets of my heart that I've been talking to God about. And you gave me the answer and encouraged me. And he wept and wept and wept. Isn't that good? It's just like God. Hallelujah. So those are the kinds of things. Talking in the tongues of men. There's actually a tongue somewhere on the earth. What are there? Thousands of languages, I believe. 4,000 languages in the world or something like that. Anyway, so you know, just that can happen. Well, we can also, he said, be talking in the tongues of angels. I was praying back, just so you knew, on February 26th of this year. You remember that day? That was the day Pastor was praying. I've prayed a few days since then, but... And hallelujah. 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 And so I was praying about, I can't say I knew what I was praying about. I found out eventually what I was praying about. But as I was praying, I thought I was just edifying myself, praying in other tongues. We're going to do that here in a few minutes if Pastor ever gets done. And whenever I was praying in tongues, I thought I was just edifying myself. And then I sensed, I'm praying something out, but I didn't know anything in my mind, didn't know what it was. You don't have to know what in your mind all it is sometimes. You just have to be obedient and yield to the Holy Ghost. Sometimes as you pray, you get further in the Spirit and you have more revelation what you're praying about. And that's what happened in this case. I got more into the Spirit and I started realizing I'm praying about the next building. Because the Lord said to me, remember he said to me, I have a home for this congregation. And which meant obviously to me, this isn't it. thank God for it. So I think we're getting it ready for somebody else. And so I was praying, and that started coming to me. And all of a sudden, I went into the Spirit. And whenever I did, I was standing, looking at the building on Armour Drive that I spoke to you about in, was that January, I believe. The Lord had spoken to me about it in Russia. Remember, and he said, claim that building, because that's his plan for this congregation. I believe it's our next home. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a nice building. Yes. And it's been sitting empty. I shouldn't say empty, but, you know, COVID kind of made them all work at the house, and there's very few cars in the parking lot. So we called him and said, hey, they still renting that? And he said, yeah, they got a lease on it. What was it, for 5 more years or something? And so, well, we just said, just want to let you know, we want to buy that then. They might not be wanting to sell it yet, but they're going to, you know, like Brother Hagin said, he said the Lord dealt with him that, you know, buy that house. And we'd like to buy this house. Well, it's not for sale. He came home and asked his wife. His wife asked, what did they say? He said, well, they said that he's going to sell it, but they just don't know it yet. I like that. But so I was praying, and while I was praying, on this is now February the 26th, I'm standing in front of that building, and I'm looking at the building in the spirit. And over that building stood an angel. And but I'm praying in the spirit, mind you. And all of a sudden I saw that, and I kept on praying in the spirit. And he's looking at me so intently, as if he's understanding exactly what I'm saying. And he's just listening to me. It's very obvious he's listening to what I'm saying. Now, my lightning quick, you know, Bible mind is thinking, well, I better say something to him in English, because I don't know of any scriptures that says I talk to angels in tongues, or at least charge an angel to go and cause this to come to pass. You know what I'm talking about? Now, it says that we can speak in an angel tongue, but it doesn't say we should speak in tongues. No place I see where you charge an angel by speaking in tongues. Amen. Amen. They hearken to the voice of his word, not the voice of you speaking in tongues. You know what I mean by hearken? I mean they go on a mission, so to speak. So, and I'm praying in tongues. I didn't have necessarily unction. I did eventually say some things in English. But that must not have been the Lord was trying to show me, because he just stood there. Even though I said some things in English. Bring that building into our name. He just stood there looking at me and listening to me. Well, I thought, well, that ain't it. That is scriptural. But he's already there holding that building for us. So I'm like, Lord, what's going on here? I'm having an experience that I don't even know if it's Bible. I want to be scriptural.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Come on. So I'm praying further, and he's intently listening to me. I mean, it's like this. It's not like he's just, you know, noticing me. He's intently, he's listening to me. I'm like, what on earth is going on? I'm praying in tongues. The Bible doesn't say, the Bible says, we just read the verse, when I pray in tongues, I speak to God. I'm talking to God. It doesn't say I'm talking to angels. But he's listening. Well, I said some things in English. Nothing happened. He just stood there. I'm thinking, that ain't it. So, I don't know about you, but sometimes you learn as you go.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you're learning at all. I'm learning. I'm learning as I go. And then the vision disappeared, and I'm like, I got to know and I had a witness. God's trying to teach me something, but I don't know what he's, you know, when I have that kind of experience, I know, and I just, it just stood out to me. It stood out to me that if I was the angel and Carlos was me, it stood out to me that he's just like this. He's listening to every word. And that stood out to me, and I knew when it stood out to me, I knew that's my cue. God's trying to tell me, so he's trying to get me understanding about something. And I don't know what it is. Because in my Bible, I read, if I speak in tongues, I'm not talking to an angel. I could be talking in an angel tongue. That's there, but it doesn't say that I charge an angel in tongues. I mean, you got to be careful about these things. People get off just kind of getting, you know, doing strange things. And just like you don't talk to the devil in tongues. People got off years ago back in the 80s about that, trying to talk to devils in tongues. Warring against the devil. You're not talking to the devil when you speak in tongues. He doesn't know what you're saying. As far as he knows, you're just saying, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I know, wonder what you are. Mary had a little lamb. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Well, what's that one about a farmer? Had all these animals. You know, something like that. He doesn't know. some nursery rhyme. He doesn't know what you're talking about. Amen. Remember that farmer? E-I-E-I-O. You know, he doesn't know. He doesn't know. Old MacDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm, he had a pig. He doesn't know what you're saying. That's why he doesn't want you to speak in tongues, because he can't get in on what you're talking over with God, and he's trying to get in on what you're talking over with God. He wants in on it. Because if he can get in on it, he can try to mess it up. But he can't get in on it. So I'm thinking, God, I know this stands out to me. What did you show me that for? I got to know what you show. That angel was listening to me very intently. He's listening to me. So I said, Lord, I got help me to understand that. I was praying about it, seeking God about it. And I want to share you what God shared with me. Share with you what he shared with me. Are you ready to hear it? We're talking about angels and the plan tonight. Angels and prayer. Because there's some things, to be honest with you, that we have to pray out and in order for it to come to pass. It won't come to pass automatically because we, you know, twiddle our thumbs and say, you know, we're just waiting on God. That's what's delaying things sometimes. We're not praying in the Holy Ghost. We're just waiting on God. God's waiting on us to pray out the plan. But there's more to this than that. Now, if you study the Bible, can I share with you what the Lord shared with me?
Yes,
now, why are we sharing this? Not just because of good Bible lessons, because there's some things we need to understand. About the plan coming to pass. Angels are a part of the plan coming to pass. Now, there's three things angels in the Bible, angels are focused on. Let me just quickly give them to you. Can you handle this just a little bit more? So, three things that the angels are focused on. Number one, the Word of God. For the Bible says in Psalm 103, 20, 21, they hearken to the voice of His Word. Angels, if you look at the context, is what he's talking about angels. They hearken to the voice of His Word. Psalm 103, 20 and 21. They hearken to what? Not just His Word. They hearken to the voice of His Word. In other words, the speaking aloud of God's Word. That's what they're listening for. That's what they're focused on. Amen. That's what their assignment is. The Word of God. They have a part in bringing to pass the Word of God. Number two, they're focused on God's people and their care. Psalm 91 tells us in verse 11 and 12, they have received a charge from heaven. He give His angels charge over thee, you and I, the people of God. Giving His angels charge over thee, to keep thee, to bear thee up in their hands, keep thee in all thy ways, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, that's a charge they have been assigned to. We are their charge. We are their focus. Their assignment, you might say. Now, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 3:16 about Jesus. It tells us that He was seen of angels. Great is the mystery of godliness. Can we just share a little bit here? Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's Jesus, obviously. I'm trying to remember the next part there, but received up into heaven. Seen of angels. Seen of angels. Talking about Jesus, when He was here on the earth, He was seen of angels. How does that say that? Great is the mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy 3:16. Manifest in the flesh. Justified in the spirit. That's interesting. You ought to meditate on that. Seen of angels. Preached unto the Gentiles, or believed on in the world. Received up into glory. That's talking about Jesus. Jesus, all that. And one of them was He was seen of angels.
Amen.
Seen. Now that doesn't, in the Greek, that it means a whole lot different than what King James says, seen of angels.
Right.
That doesn't mean just they watch and observe, although they do. But they, if you look it up, in fact, the margin of your Bible might even say it, seen after. How does it say it?
Saw to by.
In other words, the angels saw two things for Him.
Yeah.
They were seeing after Jesus. They were caring for him. Well, that was Jesus. Well, how many? Somebody said, well, God loved Jesus. Well, you ought to read what Jesus said. He said, let them know, Father. Let them know. He's talking about us, people, his people. Let them know that you love them just as much as you love me. And we all have a guardian angel to see after us, care for us. That's what their charge has been, to bear us up in their hands. Now, Hebrews 1:14 says, the angels are ministering spirits, so they're spirit beings, not natural, sent an assistance. King James says, sent, I can't even quote King James now, I quote the Amplified so much. Sent for, how does King James say it? Angels are ministering spirits sent out to minister for those. To minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation. Minister for them. The Amplified says, sent in the assistance. Of those. Sent in the assistance. So their assignment is to assist us. In what? Well, go back to Psalm 91. Is it verse 16? No, it's verse 11, I believe. There where it talks about angels, they've been given a charge. He gives his angels charge over to keep thee in all thy ways. Keep thee in all thy ways. Notice all thy ways. The Amplified says, all your ways of obedience and service. So they're to assist us as we carry out and obey the plan of God and serve in the plan, serve God by carrying out the plan of God for our lives. Amen. They're not going to assist you doing your own thing.
No, sir.
Like one time I was falling asleep going on a trip up to, was that North Dakota, I believe, where you and I were driving back and forth, taking an hour each. We drove all night to get there. We left healing school Friday, after service Friday, trying to get up there for, was it Sunday morning? It was our first service maybe or something. And so and I'm falling asleep. Just as real, I mean, before God, I lie not. You know, you woke up a couple of times, those rumble strips, you know, you're going off the road. And I'm trying to stay awake. But I felt this, just as real as you felt that right there. I felt that on my arm. Woke me wide awake. Turned around because she's sleeping in the back seat, and she's not even awake. I called her name, Deb. She slept right through it. Deb, three times. Deb, hollered the third time real loud. She slept right through it. 7 a.m., that's probably, I don't know, 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. By 7 a.m., the sun's coming up and shining in the windows, and she woke up. And I said, did you touch me and wake me up? She said, no. I said, I was falling asleep. I couldn't stay on the road. And I thought you hit me. You must have seen me and touched me.
Yeah.
She said, no. But that happened twice. First time I called her name, she didn't answer. And the second time, I started falling asleep again, and I felt that again, just as real as you've, you know, I'm sitting in the driver's seat, and it was right here on this arm. Felt it. Physically felt it. And it wasn't her. She didn't even wake up. But it was an angel. That second time, that touch put such strength into me. I drove all night, and I'm singing. Woo! In fact, that might have been part of what woke her up. I'm trying to be real quiet about it. Just singing. Woke me wide awake. You ever seen in the Bible angels would touch people and they'd receive strength? Jesus in the garden.
Hallelujah.
So, but anyway, that's assistance.
Yes, sir.
But I wasn't on my way to a nightclub. Come on now to have a sensual drinking party of some kind. He's not going to assist you in that.
No,
he's going to assist you in your ways of obedience and service. So that's what they're assigned. They're given charge of. Now, so part of their assignment, what they're focused on is the Word of God, number one. Number two, they're focused on His people, God's people, especially as they carry out God's plan. And number three is God's plan. They're focused on God's plan. There's a story over in Joshua 5. You ought to read it sometime. I'll give you a little verse on it. But it says over there, Joshua 5, 13 through 15. There's more to the story, but those verses are the main verses I'm talking about. Where Joshua was getting ready to go in and was one of the cities. Was it Jericho? Wherever. He was getting ready to go in. One of the first cities there, he's getting ready to go in, and he looked up, and there's an angel standing there. It's a sword drawn. He said, are you for us or against us? Remember what the King James says, nay. If you look up the Amplified, the NIV, some other translations, all of them will say neither. neither. But as commander of the host of the armies of heaven or something like that. I don't have the exact language there. But the first word is neither. In other words, you for us or against us. He said neither. What's that supposed to mean? Are they for you or against you? Neither. The question is not, are they for not? The question is not which side they're taking. The question is which side you taking. Are you taking the side of the plan of God or are you opposing the plan of God? If you take the side of the plan of God, they're there to assist you. To be honest with you, if you start opposing the plan of God, they're there to stop you. Balaam found that out. Ran headlong into one with his sword drawn to stop him. We got quiet on that, didn't it? Don't mess with the people of God. Especially people who have faith. So, in other words, they aren't, you know, this angel that that Joshua saw, he was there to assist him in acquiring the land. If you read the account of them going into Canaan's land, angelic ministry was huge to possess that land and to drive out the enemy. It's huge. You can see it all through there. In fact, God said, I'm going to send my angel ahead of you to drive them out. So they were following God's plan. God told them, go in and possess the land. They were following God's plan. That wasn't their plan. They're following God's plan. Isn't that right? As they followed God's plan, they got angelic assistance. Hallelujah. And the angel that God sent, Joshua saw him and said, are you for us or against us? He said, neither. In other words, they aren't for us or against someone else. They are for the plan of God. Whoever says yes to the plan of God gets their assistance. Amen. Because they're assigned to help carry out the plan of God. They won't carry out the plan of God, but they'll assist us in carrying out the plan of God. We get to the place, we get into impossible situations, and they'll get us through impossible situations and out of impossible situations and into impossible situations. It was impossible for Israel to take Canaan's land on their own, but with angelic assistance, it was a piece of cake. Amen. Remember the ambushments of sin against as they praised and worshiped God? Keep reading the blog. It's coming out. I'm going to talk about that. But there was assistance to do what was impossible. Remember Peter got put in jail and it's impossible to get out. Except an angel just whip got him right out of there. Angels will get you into impossible things and get you out of impossible situations. Praise God. But unless you walk and start out in faith to obey God, they aren't going to help you do anything. We focused on the confession of the words of our mouth, and they hearken to the voice of His Word, and that's rightly so. But if you don't take some steps towards something, they've got nothing to assist you in. Amen. Well, anyhow, but I said there's three things the angels are focused on. Aren't you glad you're learning this tonight? They'll assist those who say yes to the plan. Because they're committed to God's plan. They're basically saying, Joshua, you ask, are you for us or against us? You don't understand the way we work. We're not for or against anybody. We're for the plan of God. And you decide if you're for or against the plan of God. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Isn't that interesting? So, when God said to us, claim that building, pity the fool. Tries to stop it. That angel, he's there. I've had experiences along this line a number of times. In fact, there's a lot of protection on this property here. A lot of protection. If you think about woulda, coulda, shoulda, woulda, there's a lot of protection on this property. I saw it one time. There's angels all around the border. Praise the Lord. Now, but back to that angel. Remember, I got to tell you about him. He's a big dude. So I was talking and that angel was listening to me. But I don't see any scripture where I'm charging an angel in tongues. I knew this. I knew the Bible says when we speak another tongue, we're talking to God. We read that. And I thought to myself, well, it doesn't seem that I was charging him. You know what I mean by charging him, commissioning him? Because they are sent in the assistance to minister for those who are said, not just to us, they minister to us, but minister for us. In other words, they'll do things on our behalf. And we've been given charge. They actually, people think of angels as, it's almost something to worship. They're not. They're actually workers for us. I don't come into the church in the morning and bow down to the employees and say anything. I usually say, could you do this and that and the other? That's what angels are assigned to do. Hallelujah. And I don't mean little whims like, could you bring my coffee? I'm not talking about stupid stuff. I'm just talking about helping us as we carry out the plan of God. Got to help people sometimes along the line. But so anyway, I'm speaking and I thought it's possible that I'm charging him, but it didn't look like it. He's just standing there listening to me. He was listening to what I'm saying in tongues. What am I saying in tongues? According to the word of God, I am praying out the plan of God. I'm praying out a mystery. I'm praying out that situation. Now that I'm seeing this the building, I knew I was praying about that. Peter on the mount, on the housetop, he's praying in tongues. And didn't know what he's praying about. You know he didn't know what he's praying about. Because whenever the vision came with the sheet let down, you remember? He didn't even agree with his own vision. His own doctrine didn't. It was against his own doctrine. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Not so, Lord. I won't eat anything common or unclean. What I've cleansed don't come. He's telling them that the Gentiles have been cleansed through the blood. But Peter didn't believe they could become saved through the blood. He thought they had to be a Jew first. But God given him a revelation about something that he didn't even believe. In fact, you read Galatians 2, he still didn't believe it years later.
True story.
Completely.
True story.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This is good preaching tonight. I'm trying to hurry it up, but you're pulling too much. I'll blame it on you. It's never pastor's fault. So, he's praying out. He's praying in tongues. And I don't believe he's praying about something else and God gave him a vision about taking the gospel to the Gentiles. The vision came in line with what he was praying about. I don't think God's schizophrenic. He doesn't have you praying about your wife in tongues and then he gives you a vision about how to, you know, prosper or something like that. You know what I'm talking about? So Peter's having this vision about what he had prayed about. He was praying about, you know, he's praying in tongues because he wouldn't have been praying anything about that in English. He didn't even believe it could happen. You don't pray about things you even believe could happen. Amen. You don't pray in English or pray in English about turtles getting saved. You don't even believe turtles can be saved.
No, sir.
I know it's stupid, but I kept you awake. Amen.
Amen.
Right? So, hallelujah. So Peter's praying about he's praying in tongues. He wouldn't have been praying in English because he didn't even believe he could, should, would. He's praying in tongues and God gave him the revelation. He prayed something out and the revelation. See, it's mysteries prayed out bring revelation. He prayed that out and the revelation came, which he didn't even believe. It took him a long time to believe it. So I'm praying something out and I believe that now I was praying about that building because that's the vision I had. I saw the angel holding that building and then he's intently listening to me and I'm saying, God, now it doesn't seem like I was charging him, giving him a charge. It just sounded like he's listening to what I'm saying. And I was thinking about that as I said, Lord, help me understand what you're showing me here. You're trying to teach me something. And I'm trying to teach you tonight. So that you'll understand some more. And so he said to me, what does the Bible say you're praying when you speak in tongues? I said, well, that's easy. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. I'm speaking mysteries and I'm talking to God. Right? And I said, well, why is the angel listening to me? He said, the Bible did say you can speak in the tongues of men and angels. He said, so you can talk to me, play out the mystery talking to me in a tongue that angels understand. And he said this to me. He said, I'll have you speaking in a dialect or a tongue that they understand, a tongue of angels sometimes, is because they need to hear what you're saying. Because they need to be educated about the plan. Now, that just was totally reversed the way I used to think. I thought, well, they know everything. But the Lord said, no, angels don't know everything. I'll give you some verses. You want to look at some verses? Because, you know, you almost think, well, they're up there in the presence of God. They know everything. No, they're not God. They don't know everything. You ready to look at some verses? Look with me at 1 Peter. Let's go to Matthew 24:36 first of all. Matthew 24:36, talking about Jesus' return. Jesus talked about his return here, Matthew 24:36. He said, but of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Well, they don't know that. If there's only one thing in the world they don't know, which is probably, that's not the only thing they don't know, but if there was only one thing in the world they don't know, they're not omniscient. They don't know everything. But there's probably a whole lot more they don't know. They only know, they're like us, they only know what God reveals to them. And he has not revealed the day or the hour. Jesus himself said he didn't know. He probably does today. But when he said it, he didn't. All right, so there's one thing the angel said. Now notice back here what it says in 1 Peter. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 1. This one will really bring it home. Taking longer than I planned, but you know, you've been there before too, haven't you? But you're never disappointed. You never go away and think, I sure wish I'd have got something out of that tonight. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Look with me at verse. Thank you for the opportunity, by the way, to preach this out, because I've been carrying this around on the inside of me. 1 Peter 1. Look with me at verse number. Go back to verse 10. Of which salvation, 1 Peter 1:10, which salvation the prophets, having inquired and searched diligently, talking about the Old Testament prophets, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them, because they're way back there in the Old Covenant getting these revelations of what was coming for us. They wanted to know what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified, or the Spirit testified beforehand of the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you, and to them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Huh? They what? They desire to look into. One verse over in the book of Psalms says, when God says, let us make man in our image. Psalm 8 says, one said, and then the book of Hebrews says it was an angel. Yep. What is man? Man, man, man. What is man? Yeah. What is man? What is man? What is man that you're mindful of him? Yeah. And that you go visit them. Go visit him. Yeah. Angels. They're like, what's man?
Right.
They don't know everything.
Right.
I'm preaching this slow because you're just thinking about it. Isn't that an interesting verse? Which things the angels desire to look into. So that makes it plain that angels desire to learn about God's plan for the redeemed. It's pretty clear right there.
Yes, it is.
They want to look into this love he has for us. You know, why didn't he redeem the fallen angels? Of course, you know, one third of them fell with Satan. Two thirds still in heaven. Why didn't he redeem them? What is man that you're mindful of him? And they're looking at, they want to understand God's care for man. And they're looking into the plan of the redeemed. Or for God's plan for the redeemed. Amen. Is it possible? I believe God's trying to tell me the answer to this is yes. That part of the way they get insight into his plan for our lives is listening to us talk to God about it.
That's good.
Well, somebody said they learned the plan from God. Well, yeah, when you're speaking in tongues, you're doing it by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Who is God?
Yes. That's right.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
That's God talking through you.
Right.
Yes.
That's God talk.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is inspiring you. The Holy Ghost is God.
Yes.
Angels are not.
Yes.
So when he inspires you to speak in tongues, you're praying out the plan.
Yeah.
And I don't think all the time, but at least sometimes, the angels are listening to that to find out they're part of that plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're getting their education from the Holy Ghost as you speak it.
Yes.
I'm just telling you what the Lord shared with me about that experience. Why? Because they have a part in bringing that plan to pass.
Yes, they do. Yes.
And they want to know their part.
Yes, they do. Come on.
Now, they can't do our part.
Right.
But they do have a part. So that angel that was watching me, he was watching me, but he's really listening to me. You see, you ever watch somebody listen? I mean, you can see they're listening.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's doing that. He's looking at me, but he's listening. You can tell he's listening. He's listening for the plan. He's learning the plan as I speak it in tongues. Because he has a part in bringing that to pass. See, my mindset was, well, they get all that from God. Well, yeah, the Holy Ghost is, that's the way the Lord said it to me. The Holy Ghost is God.
Yeah.
He knows the plan, and he's having you speak it. That's how, part of the way, now that doesn't mean God can't tell them, because he does. But part of the way they learn is from listening to us pray in tongues. Now, don't you want to pray in tongues more? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, yeah. It is possible that at least in part, angels learn the will of God from us as we pray under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because they need to help us in that. Amen. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. There are things that have to be worked out concerning God's plan. Like in this situation for this building. I mean, there are things that have to be worked out. And that building has to come into the name of the church for us to use it. And our mind doesn't know how to do all that. You know, I mean, we could figure it out and mess it up. We could try to figure it out and mess it up. We're good at that. Been there. I'd just rather follow the Holy Ghost and just do what he says. And so, really, so whenever we speak in tongues, what that praying in tongues enables us to do is pray about the unknown. The unknown to us and the unknown to angels. Isn't that an interesting thought? And when we pray about, no doubt I was praying the mysteries of God as I spoke in tongues. I'm praying out things my mind didn't understand. And apparently that angel hadn't gotten understanding of yet. He's getting it.
Yes, he is.
He's learning because he has a part in this. Amen. It's you remember whenever they were speaking in tongues in the book of Acts, there, Acts 2, 5 through 11. We do hear them speak with tongues, remember? People came from all over. We hear them speak with tongues. Then King James says, the wonderful works of God. Hallelujah. You're declaring the wonders of God. And part of that could be the wonderful plan he has. And the wonderful things he's going to do. And the wonderful things he has done. And the wonderful things he is doing. And so we know from that scripture, Acts 2, 5 through 11, we know that they were speaking the marvels of God. The wonders of God. The plan of God. What his will was. And what he was doing. And what he would do. And is, and so forth and so on. And they heard him speak the wonderful works of God. Some other translations say the marvels of God.
Yeah.
Well, if the angels would they be able to understand that? I don't know that they understand everything we say in tongues. I guess not, but there must be some languages they do understand, because the Bible said the tongues of men and of angels. There must be some things they understand, some languages they understand. I don't know everything, but at least they know some. That makes sense, doesn't it? So, whenever it says there in 1 Peter 1 that they desire to look into this plan of redemption, because see, they're not redeemed. They've never fallen. Now, there was angels that fell, but they themselves in heaven, they never fell. So, they've never been redeemed. They don't know this kind of love that he has for us. Isn't that an interesting thought? So, they're marveling at God's plan for this creation called man. They're marveling at that plan, and they desire to look into that kind of care, that kind of wonderful love that he has for us, and the wonderful plan that he has for us. that man would be given authority and he falls and God redeems him to give him back that authority. And what kind of care is that? They've never experienced anything like that. Am I preaching all right? So they marvel at that. And they want to look into that. They're trying to understand that. That's what that means. They're looking and they're trying to understand that. And apparently, at least in part, God will have them bring them understanding of the marvelous plan he has for us by us speaking in tongues. At least in part. I didn't say in full. Yeah. You understand what I'm talking about. Amen. Well, did you get anything out of that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. My point is, angels don't know everything. They don't know why sometimes they've been charged to hold that building or to do this. But they are obedient because the higher ups, God, charged them to do it. Or someone under heaven's authority by anointing and direction of the Holy Spirit charged them to do it. Not just us speaking a whim out of our mind, charging, go an angel, go do this, go do that. You know. But no, actually, you know, the angels don't play games. We ought not to be playing games. But when we speak under that anointing, they're given a command and they might not even know why they're doing it. I don't know if that angel even knew why he's holding that building, but he's learning from me.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That's good.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen. I don't even know all the details of why the Lord said that building. But the higher ups said do it. You know what I mean by the higher ups? You know, it's above my pay grade, you know what I'm trying to say, to figure it all out.
Come on.
I just do what I'm told.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So they don't know everything. They might not even know why that angel might not even know why he's holding that building, but he might have got some insight. Praise the Lord. But they're obedient, and they do what they're charged to do. Hallelujah.
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 They just obey. Isn't that right? When we pray in tongues, we're praying things that are in the mind and plan of God, even though our mind doesn't understand it yet, and angels are getting instructions from our praying in tongues, at least at times. I don't think it's all the time. But at least at times, they're getting those instructions, because we're speaking the will of God, and they desire to look into that. They want to see into that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Now, let me just say this, and then we'll wrap this up. I've gone too long. There are people in situations like this, and many situations that you're going to deal with in life. There are people that need to be influenced towards the will of God. In this building is a situation like this. And be influenced in this building being transferred into the name of the church. But because they either don't live, the Holy Spirit doesn't live in them, if they're not born again, or he does and they won't listen. There, God's going to have to deal with them. God, let me back up. God can't deal with them from within their spirits. He's going to have to deal with them from the outside. You ever thought about that? The outside of their being. And one way God moves on people from the outside of their being is through the ministry of angels. Now we think sometimes, well, that person's being influenced or motivated by the devil. And that's sometimes true. But sometimes, why do we think that the devil can do that but God can't? Poor old God, he's weak. He can't influence from people from the outside. You know, he can only influence people from the inside. And if they're not born again, God can't do anything with them.
Come on.
Well, old Saul of Tarsus found that out. God could do something like it. God can do what he wants to do.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Those jailers holding Peter found out God can make them do something. Amen. Praise God. You learning anything?
Yes.
So if demons can influence people from the outside, why can't God through angels? Even though they're not born again. I believe he can, don't you? Hallelujah. Well, praise God for the word. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we're out to carry out the will of God.
Yes.
Our attention shouldn't be on angels. They should be on Jesus.
Yes.
And on the plan and obedience to God and so forth. And we don't worship angels. They're just workers, you know. We don't get out of balance with angels, you know, being higher than Jesus or anything like that. But the Word does tell us what they're there for. And we ought to help, you know, give them the fuel they need to carry out their mission. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what I had in my heart to share with you tonight. We could go into a lot more, but for time, we'll just stop right there. Thank God for angels.